Once I was a little boy, I had a rubber toy. Oi, 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 what a toy. I opened up its lips and spat in lots of pips. Now my toy is full of forest. Oi, 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 a forest for a toy. What a lovely toy for a very little boy. Once I was a little girl, my head was in a whirl. Aye, 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 I'm a girl. I climbed a slippy tree for all the boys to see, and they gasped at how clever I was. Aye, 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 I nearly touched the sky. What a lovely thing to do to be so very high. When the forest grew too big, it burst out of my toy. Hee, 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 lucky me. I give it lots of light, but girls climb up at night. Now my forest is full of girls. Hee, 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 a girl on every tree. What a lovely sight for a little boy like me.
That is a very curious piece of music by a very curious fellow. His name, Ivor Cutler, a Scottish poet, songwriter, and humorist. It's called Rubber Toy, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. For a reason, some of the music of Ivor Cutler is going to be danced to by the Mark Morris Dance Group as they return to the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts for their annual visit. They're giving public concerts on a Friday and Saturday, and I'll be talking with Mark Morris coming up later on Live and Local. The show's your connection to local performances. Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Kelly. But first, we have some fine young people from Edison Middle School in Champaign, and also their fine young teacher, whose name is Andrea Welty Peachy, and they're going to be putting on a sort of a hybrid play/musical based on the novel by Roald Dahl, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that will have some songs to it. And I originally thought you all were going to be doing the musical Willy Wonka, which in turn is based in part on the book and in part on the movie. Mm-hmm. But you're not.
No, we decided that we would take a one act and then we would tailor it to the strengths and the talents that we had in our cast at the middle school. So you will hear some of the original songs from the movie and then some other songs that we put in ourselves and that highlight what kinds of talents we have.
So when you say put in ourselves, that doesn't necessarily mean you wrote new songs, but you got songs from other places.
Right. Just gather them. We have the song I Want Candy from the 80s, that well-known I Want Candy song. And then we have a song that is called Reaching for the Stars, which we'll do, that is used for graduations and other kinds of celebratory events. And we have that at the end. And then there's different things throughout the whole play that make it really fun and give it a fresh sound.
And we have most of the cast in the studio here.
We have about 10 out of the 50.
Oh, 50.
So we have about 50 kids that are participating in this. When you figure in all the Oompas, Oompa Loompas, and all the other people in the play, it's about 50.
So that's a lot of kids to corral.
Yes, and we've been corralling them and working with them for the last 2 months or so, I think. We've gotten together every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon and Saturday morning. So these kids have given a lot of time to this project. And if you come and see, that will be very evident to you, the time they put into it.
And the performances are Thursday and Saturday at 7 and then a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock.
That's right.
At Edison Medical School. Edison Middle School in Champaign. Well, why don't we have the first song? I'm going to assume that most people know this story, but what happens to lead up to this particular tune?
Well,
in,
I believe
in the play.
This is where all of the characters are starting to dream about what it's like in the factory. So it's before they actually go into the factory and see what's inside.
Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, of course.
Mm-hmm. This is the Candyman.
Chocolate and a miracle or two. The Candyman.
The Candyman.
The Candyman can.
The Candyman can. The Candyman can. 'Cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow? Wrap it in a song. Soak it in the sun and make a strawberry lemon pie. The Candyman.
The Candyman.
The Candyman can.
The Candyman can. The Candyman can. 'Cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
The Candyman makes everything he bakes satisfying and delicious. Talk about your childhood wishes. You can even eat the dishes. Who can take tomorrow?
Dip it in a
dream. Separate the sorrow and collect up all the cream. The Candyman.
The Candyman.
The Candyman can.
From, now that one was from Willy Wonka,
mm-hmm.
the movie musical, although I remember it as a song made popular by Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
way
that?
Back, no, that was before my time.
Oh, that was before your time.
Oh,
I just dated myself.
I can be happy to say it's before my time.
I have no idea when that song was from, but, well, I suppose it was from when I was a kid, so I just dated myself, which is perfectly fine. The book came out in 1964, so the movie, I guess, first of the movie is 1971, so I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and loved that song, loved the music, and loved the musical, and I didn't see the second, loved the movie, never saw the second one. Mm-hmm. I think did we hear solos by all the girls in the room? Anybody know? Who didn't do
many
one?
Many of them.
Who are you in the red shirt? Remind me.
Anna Jefferson.
So Anna Jefferson did not do a solo. However, that means everybody else did. So our soloists, and I don't have the order right, but Kendall Woods and Allie Miller and Emmy Laux, Christiana Minninger, and Lauren Miller. And did I cover everybody? And then
yep.
Mrs. Peachy sitting at the piano. These are folks from Edison Middle School, and you sound very good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm impressed. Now the boys are next, it appears. Yeah, so we're going to do a little scene from the play, right? Any
yes.
introduction? What has led up to this moment?
You guys want to say where we are?
Well, right now they have just got their golden tickets and they are kind of waiting outside the gates because, you know, they live, I guess, close to it and they're really excited to come. So basically my voice comes in. I'm like facing back towards the stage. I write and talk while he kind of lips it on stage. Like it's my voice going with his golden ticket. Like he's reading what's on the golden ticket.
And you are who again, Ian? Who are you playing?
I am Willy Wonka in the play.
And Ben Wendt is in the role of Charlie Bucket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boy, Grandpa Joe, I'm sure glad Dad let you take me today.
Well, Charlie, I guess he just feels that we understand each other.
Plus, you seem to know all about Willy Wonka and what's happened to him.
Well, he's been an important man in the town for a good long time, and some people said some unkind things about him when he closed down his factory, but I felt that he had his reasons. Actually, I'm quite excited about this golden ticket thing. It's a good excuse to see what's going on in the factory and how he's running it.
Speaking of the golden ticket, Grandpa Joe, could I read it one more time? I know it sounds silly, but the whole thing seems so magical.
Sure, Charlie. Let me see if I could find it. Ah, here it is.
Let's see now. It says...
Greetings to you, the lucky finder of this golden ticket from Mr. Willy Wonka. I shake you warmly by the hand. Tremendous things are in store for you. Many wonderful surprises await you. For now, I do invite you to come to my factory and be my guest for one whole day. You and all the others who are lucky enough to find my golden tickets.
And that is how it all gets started, essentially. Of course, there's things that happen before that. Charlie and Grandpa and the whole rest of his family living in virtually a one-room house, as I recall, or something like
Grandpa's
that.
Grandpas are all in one bed.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And they've been eating cabbage soup for, like, years.
And so not terribly well off. So they would be very happy to win this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So Ian Wilkie is back in the microphone as Willy Wonka, and we're going to hear, I guess, one of the other popular songs, for particularly popular songs from that original movie.
Mm-hmm. This is Pure Imagination.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with the spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it. There is no place I know to compare with your imagination. So go there to be free if you truly wish to be.
Very nicely sung. Ian Wilkie as Willy Wonka, Pure Imagination. I remember again Gene Wilder doing that song in the film. Mrs. Andrea Welty Peachy is the music teacher at Edison Middle School and choir director. Are you the music teacher or a music teacher?
Well, I mostly teach general music, and then we have a choir that meets after school. And then there's an orchestra director and a band director. So there's essentially three music teachers.
How does the play come together? I mean, how do you get the drama going?
Well, Stephanie Woods is the drama teacher, and so we work together. She does the costuming and the acting, directing portion of that and the set building, and then I get all the musical pieces together and turns into a great show because we're all kind of pitching in and taking care of what needs to be taken care of.
So you said you've been rehearsing for a couple of months or so. When do they rehearse?
Well, we auditioned everybody back in January. So, and then we rehearsed after school pretty much from February, the beginning of February, till now. And then on Saturday mornings as well.
So that's a pretty good commitment required.
It is. And we had some snow days in there that took away a lot of our practice time. So we've had to kind of crunch it together here coming up to the dates. But, yeah, no, it's coming together well.
Ian and maybe Ben as the sort of the two protagonists, let's say, in this play. Have you each seen either of the, you know, the movies that have come out about this?
I've seen both.
Me too. They're wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you made an attempt to model your characters at all on the characters created by either of those actors in those movies?
Just a little bit. I mean,
yeah, I use it a lot. In fact, I try to be kind of crazy, like in the second movie, and also try to have a little bit of sophistication in the first movie, like both of those characters kind of have both together.
So Johnny Depp was the crazy Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Johnny Depp sort of.
And I actually have no idea who played Charlie in either of those. But so you've just gone it on your own for the most part, Ben.
Yeah.
Delved into the depths of your soul.
Pretty much.
To find your inner Charlie Bucket.
Your inner cabbage.
And what about Veruca Salt? You're a really pleasant girl in this show.
Yes, in fact.
Did you find trouble creating this character?
I thought it was just really fun to be the kind of person that I'm not usually at home or around my friends.
One of them looks like she might disagree. Surely not. No, she takes it back. What are we going to do? We've got another short scene from the play?
Yeah.
We're going to do the Veruca Salt scene in the squirrel room. And this is right after Violet.
In the squirrel room?
The nut room.
Okay. This will become evident as it goes, I guess.
All right. Stop here for a moment and catch your breath. This is the nut room.
Oh, look, Grandpa, look.
Miniature squirrels!
Jeepers, there must be 100 of them around that pile of walnuts over there.
These squirrels are specially trained for getting the walnuts, or nuts, out of walnuts.
Why use squirrels? Why not use Oompa Loompas?
Nobody can get the nuts out of walnut shells in one place except squirrels. I insist on using whole walnuts, so I use squirrels to do the job. See how they first tap on each walnut with their knuckles to make sure it's not a bad one. If it's bad, it makes a hollow sound, they don't bother, and they throw it in the trash chute.
Hey, Mommy, I've decided I want a squirrel. Get me one of those squirrels.
Don't be silly, sweetheart. They all belong to Mr. Wonka.
But I don't care about that. I want one. All I've got at home is 2 dogs and 4 cats and 6 bunny rabbits and 3 parakeets and 2 canaries and a green parrot and a bowl of goldfish and a turtle and a cage of white mice. And a silly old hamster. I want a squirrel.
All right. Mummy will get you a squirrel just as soon as she possibly can.
But I don't want any old squirrel. I want a trained squirrel.
If you wish, Mr. Wonka.
Yes?
How much do you want for one of those silly squirrels? Name your price.
They're not for sale. She can't have one.
Who says I can't? I'm going to grab me a squirrel this instant.
Lovely girl.
That's what the narrator says, too.
Oh, is
that
right?
Isn't she a lovely girl? Yeah.
Well, and Veruca Salt played there by Kendall Woods. And who did we have? We had Mrs. Salt, Christiana Minninger. And then Anna Jefferson was our narrator.
I was filling in for Mike TV today.
Oh, you were Mike TV.
Yes.
Okay. And then Ian Wilkie as Willy Wonka. Did I miss somebody? Oh, of course. Ben Wendt as Charlie Bucket. We're talking about and hearing a sort of preview of excerpts from the Edison Middle School production in Champaign of their own adaptation of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, a one-act play mixed with music from the movies and also from other places as well. And it's from one of those other places that this tune comes from.
Yes, and this is our final song, and it's our final song in the show. And I tried to pick up on the enthusiasm that Willy Wonka had for choosing Charlie to bestow his beloved factory upon. This is called Reaching for the Stars, and it features several of our kids as soloists. And it's just a great uplifting song at the end. So here it is.
I'm not gonna settle for anything less than wonderful. I'm not gonna stop trying to reach my dreams.
You're not gonna wait for anyone else to please you. You're moving ahead, hard as it may seem.
I'm reaching for the stars, just you wait and see. Reaching for the stars, gonna make the most of me. Gonna soar above the clouds as I sing my song out loud. I'm reaching for the stars, it's my time to shine.
I'm not gonna worry if things don't always go my way. I'm not gonna stress or lose any sleep at night. I'm not gonna judge if anyone disagrees with me. I'm moving ahead, making things come out right.
I'm reaching for the stars, just you wait and see. Reaching for the stars, gonna make the most of me. Gonna soar above the crowd as I sing my song out loud. I'm reaching for the stars, it's my time to shine.
I will dare to build new bridges. I will dare to heed the call. I will dare to wish new wishes, to be the best of all.
To be the best of all. I'm reaching for the stars, just you wait and see. Reaching for the stars, gonna make the most of me. Gonna soar above the crowd as I sing my song out.
Cast members from Edison Middle School's production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which will be produced Thursday at 7, so tomorrow night at 7, Saturday at 7, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the middle school. They are led here, and she was at the piano as well, by their music teacher, choir director, and obviously music director for this production, Andrea Welty Peachy. Thank you all very much for coming in. It sounds marvelous.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Stay tuned next for my conversation with Mark Morris, leader of the Mark Morris Dance Group, who will be performing at the Krannert Center in Urbana Friday and Saturday night. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Many listeners will recognize that as the opening music to The Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky, an iconic and groundbreaking ballet of 1913. The Philadelphia Orchestra in this performance, led by Riccardo Muti, or actually 1910, I think. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guest this portion of the show is Mark Morris. I think he's been back here, this is like your fifth appearance maybe on the show, but every year since we've been doing this one. But you've been at the Krannert Center now for at least 10 years running, making it, they'd like to say, your Midwest home.
It absolutely is, yeah.
What does that mean, really?
That means we come here regularly, meaning annually. We do a lot of community work. We perform usually two or three performances, and we do a lot of teaching at the university and in the community. And you know, we're a big presence, not just in the dance department, in music, and at the local schools and senior centers. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, including my management, who teaches arts management classes and, stagecraft. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. There always has been. And we often have worked with local university artists and local community musicians. This one is all my own people, including the Bad Plus coming in to visit. And let's see, I was teaching a sort of opera workshop yesterday, and I do that tomorrow. We do a lot of stuff. And very important, the Krannert Center is a big supporter of the work that we do. So they co-commission very often big projects that we want to take around. So they come in from the ground floor and are very generous and very helpful in us keeping going with the work that we do.
So what were you teaching to the opera folks?
Singing, rhythm, action, eye contact, thinking on your feet, being able to move in rhythm, which is something that most singers don't get much experience in. And in general, I'm a big rhythm enthusiast, let's put it that way. And I lament the loss of rhythm in a lot of music, and a lot of people aren't trained with much rhythmic accuracy. So that's what I do, to get people to really be able to identify rhythm and also sing and also move at the same time.
And I assume it's a very hands-on approach, meaning you get them involved.
Yeah, I chase them around and yell at them, and we do dances, and we do things that they don't know how to do, which is fun. And then I listen to them sing and coach stuff, and it's a lot of breathing, and it's whatever I can think of. I've been doing it for several years, and it's very fun. They're very eager.
Well, I was going to ask what kind of response you get from opera singers. They are said to be temperamental, at least once they become professional.
Well, they're said to be fat, too. And that's an old style version of that. Of course, everybody makes fun of tenors as being the dumb ones and sopranos being the difficult ones. It's just, those are all reputations, especially from people who aren't involved in opera that much. But it's not completely unfounded. Some cliches are true, and that's why they're there. But these people, sometimes the first thing you do when you decide to be an opera singer is learn how to be really difficult and not show up for performances or something. But they're mercifully not being trained that way. So they're eager and open and young people. It's nice.
And, of course, you're here to give a couple performances with the Mark Morris Dance Group Friday mm-hmm. night and Saturday night. Both of those performances at 7:30, and I assume you'll do your usual, as they call them, talkbacks afterwards.
Yeah, I call it a Q&A, but they call it a talkback.
It's
a hook,
and they usually get a little back talk from you, as I recall, depending on the question.
Well, I'm just honest.
Yeah. I am always curious about the music that you choose. And I would say you have what might be kind of a conventional piece of music on this three-work program, which is the one that's in the middle of everything, music by Carl Maria von Weber, which we'll sample in a little bit.
Oh, right.
For clarinet and piano. And then there's something quite monumental that has its own twist to it in Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, which mm-hmm. we will certainly get to. And then the thing that opens here... I saw that it was going to be music and words by a guy named Ivor Cutler, who I'd never heard of myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they kindly sent me a link to a bunch of these songs that you're going to do. And then I listened to them. And I thought, this guy is a whack job. And then I thought, how on earth do you choreograph anything? to these.
Oh, are those related,
guys?
Those questions?
They are perhaps related, and they're not really even questions. They're just comments.
How
I think
do
what
ya?
I'm going to do is play the first one. Uh-huh. People will probably have an idea why I said those things, and then I'll let you respond.
Okay.
I am Ivor Cutler of your hoop, oblique musical philosopher. I am going to sing you some of my songs. The music nowadays is very often distasteful to me. I feel that all the old values have gone. Here is a song written in the good old English style, and I hope that all good old Englishmen will enjoy it. The title is Here's a Health to Jolly Little Simon, Simon being my elder son. Here's a health to jolly little Simon, and long may he reign. Here's a health to jolly little Simon, he gives me a pain in the tonsils and the kneecap and the other place as well. Here's a health to the jolly little perisher, I wish he'd get to far. La 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 la, I wish he'd get to far.
Okay, so there you have it. Ivor Cutler, that's the music that will, well, it's the statement, I guess, and the music that will open this concert by Mark Morris Dansky.
Correct.
Who's Ivor Cutler?
Ivor Cutler, I hadn't ever heard of him, at least I didn't know I had, until maybe 5 or so years ago. I saw a piece, I was in Edinburgh participating in a program that I'd given a dance to, and a fellow choreographer, Christopher Bruce, who's a fine choreographer, had choreographed a piece to some of Mr. Cutler's music. And I loved it immediately and had never heard of it. And I instantly went out and got everything I could find, which was hundreds of things. He was very, very prolific. He was a Scot, a Glaswegian, a Jew, a pacifist, a brilliant, wonderful, kind. He was a teacher. He taught children. He was a poet. He was a musician. He had a radio show for many years on the BBC. He was very popular with a lot of people, including because it was the Beatles. He appeared in that wonderful movie Magical Mystery Tour. So if you remember that, it's just been re-released and in a beautiful cleaned up version. It's a wonderful piece. I didn't like it at the time, but I like it now. He plays the bus driver. And he had a long-running radio show called In a Scotch Sitting Room. And what he did was he wrote little poems and little stories and little sort of educational opportunities for kids and for his children. And he was sort of an eccentric. And I found in listening to the music, in hundreds of pieces, I winnowed it down to the maybe dozen pieces that I use in this dance. Very varied and very funny and very poignant and very kind-hearted. So the work is strange, very unusual. He uses harmonium a lot in the sort of the Indian fashion as a drone. And there's some that's with a rhythm trio with piano drums and bass. And there's some stuff where he just talks, and there's a woman who sings with him. And they're very beautiful. And I'm very fond of a lot of Scottish things. And this is sort of as Scottish as it gets. And so the reason I start with the piece that we just listened to, with him talking, is partly because I was worried that American audiences wouldn't be able to understand his accent. And so I start with just talking so you can hear him, and then we go into the body of the piece. And it turns out that there's no problem like that at all. I was scared about it. But he's very legible, and these beautiful, funny, sad, wonderfully interesting songs are why I made up this voice. And, you know, I only work with live music, so to decide to use a recorded score is a big move for me. But he's so particular and so unrecreatable that I thought this was just the right thing, and it is.
Well, I was going to say, I was looking through here to say, okay, do you having anybody else perform this? I don't see how you possibly could.
Right. I could do a bad cover version of it. You know, I know all of it myself. I could do it. I can. We can do it without accompaniment in the studio because we all know the text now so well. But, you know, there are twists in all of them. They're either sort of break your heart, and he's really worth looking up. There's a lot of his stuff online, and he's very well represented.
Let's give another example, and this happens to be the title song, so to speak. This is called A Wooden Tree, and it's what you've actually called the dance.
Right.
Hey, look, there at the back, a wooden tree. Isn't it a pretty one? Hey, look, there at the back, a wooden tree. Isn't it a pretty one? I called my father to come and look. He cleaned his throat. He started to sing. Hey, look, there at the back, a wooden tree. Isn't it a pretty one? He hollered, wife, that's my mother. She took a look, began to bellow. Hey, look, there at the back, a wooden tree. Isn't it a pretty one? She called my sister, was in the bath, got a hell of a fright. She lost the sponge and started to moan. Hey, look, a wooden tree. Isn't it a pretty one? And it's there at the back, and it's there at the back, and it's there at the back. She called my brother, who was round at the back, though flat at the front, to come and look. But he wouldn't come, 'cause he hated the words, but he knew the tune, so he started to hum. Hmm, 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 along came an artist with paint on his brush. He painted the tree, and now it looks horrible, but we keep on singing because we're optimists. Hey, look, there at the back, a wooden tree. Isn't it a pretty one? Hey, look.
You don't quite expect the end.
No, he didn't either, I don't think.
He breaks in a little right time or something. Ivor Cutler, A Wooden Tree, which is also the name of the piece by Mark Morris, which will be performed by the Mark Morris Dance Group Friday and Saturday at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And my guest is Mark Morris himself for this portion of Live and Local, where our broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center with independently owned shops of spirituality and inspiration like the Bible Education Center, the New Life Church of Faith, and Transitions. So one can only imagine what you do with the dancers in that, and I guess they can just imagine and show up.
Exactly. One need not imagine too much. You just come and watch it.
Yeah. I said at the outset that you have what I would call a more conventional piece of music anyway. I don't know if it would be at all a more conventional piece of dance to some music by Carl Maria von Weber, a wonderful grand duo concertant for clarinet and piano. Anything particular that appealed to you about this piece?
It's great. It's a very famous piece in the clarinet repertory, which also isn't that famous a repertory if you're not a clarinetist. Anyway, it was the clarinet was pretty recently invented and used anyhow. And to have it not be a band piece but to be this concerto, it's very, very radical. It's a very virtuosic piece for both of the players, for the clarinet and the piano. And also because there's a genius clarinetist, Todd Palmer, who's a big, big shot in the clarinet world and a fine musician, a good friend of mine. And I wanted to do this piece with Colin Fowler, who's my pianist. So it's a real sort of knockdown, drag-out, virtuoso, show-stopping kind of amazing piece of music.
Does that mean that it's a virtuoso piece for the dancers as well?
Yes. It's a lot of work. And it's done. It's choreographed for 8 men and 3 women. So it's a chorus of men and then 3 sort of fabulous guest women. And it's action-packed, I'll tell you that. It's beautiful. And you can tell pretty much by hearing the music, that it's sort of thrilling and fun and exciting. And so I'm pretty sure that comes across with the dance. It certainly does with the music.
I was reading some of a book by a fellow named Michael Lasser called America's Songs, actually part two. And with one of the songs, Smile by Charlie Chaplin, he talks about how Charlie Chaplin wrote his music. He wanted to have his own music to his movies, silent movies, but that he would choose more emotional, slower music to go with his crazy antics because he thought it would be sort of a foil rather than come up with crazy music.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you sometimes do that sort of thing, or if some of that happens in this dance.
Oh, listen, I'll do anything. I'll do anything I can come up with to make something that works for me. If one imagines a dance when one hears a piece of music, which I don't, then I don't know how to say if I've fulfilled that or disappointed it, that expectation. So I make up what I think should happen, and also just deciding that it's going to be a chorus of eight men and with three featured women decides certain things about what it'll be like. The men are dominant, but because of the specialness of the women's trio, et cetera, it's not a power struggle, but it's... and of course, it's not just someone's dancing the clarinet part and someone's dancing the piano part, because why bother with that? They already are doing that. So I don't know. The answer is, I don't know if it's the dance that one would expect to that music, but I didn't expect it, and I made it up. So
so you hear a piece of music and decide you like it.
Yeah.
Not imagining dance to it. And
right.
Then at some point, you decide to choreograph it.
Well, it's like I listen to a lot of music, and there's a lot of music that, or people send me stuff like, you've got to hear this, or I wrote that, I'm a composer, you must choreograph my work, etc. And, the Weber that we're talking about, I've known that piece for 25 or 30 years. It's a piece that's very well known, and it's wonderful. And a dance that people know, choreographed by Fokine, called Le Spectre de la Rose, which was choreographed to Weber's Invitation to the Dance. Very famous piece of music, very famous dance from the early part of the 20th century. And so I like that relationship, that Weber was known for that particular dance and this particular piece of music, which most people wouldn't dare do because it's so hard. You do it as in a concert, but to do it with a dance is pretty risky. But, I have full confidence in my wonderful artists.
No doubt, and for very good reason.
They might be listening also. That's one reason I do.
They might. Well, here's some of the final movement
of
Carl Maria von Weber's Grand Duo Concertante. In this performance, we hear clarinetist Emma Johnson with pianist Gordon Back.
Thank you.
Another teaser, as we always is all we can ever do when we have big pieces to talk about. That's the final movement part of it of the Grand Duo Concertante of Carl Maria von Weber. Clarinetist Emma Johnson with pianist Gordon Back in that performance. It'll be played by clarinetist Todd Palmer and pianist Colin Fowler. The latter of the Mark Morris Dance Group Ensemble, or what do you call it?
Yeah, MMDG Players. Music Ensemble.
Music Ensemble, mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And that's the voice of Mark Morris himself. They'll be doing that piece, the dance itself called Crosswalk, on their concerts Friday and Saturday night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And then the big piece, Spring, 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 you're calling it, which sounds terribly lighthearted, considering that the music you're setting is that of Igor Stravinsky, The Rite of Spring, which we sampled the original version of right before we started talking. But you've got this group that I had never heard of myself before called The Bad Plus.
Where have you been?
Oh, I've been many places, but apparently not in the right place in this case.
Well, they've been around for about a dozen years, in fact. And, you know, it's a jazz, I guess, rock. I don't use the word rock, but I guess it's sort of, they play a huge variety of music from famously Nirvana to Ligeti and their own compositions. The fabulous band, piano, bass, and percussion. And I've worked with them before, and the lead in to me was that the pianist Ethan Iverson was for a number of years my house pianist and music director. So Ethan left my employ in order to start this band with Dave King and Reed, and they were fabulous musicians. Reed Anderson, thank you. I just got it in my mind. Dave King, Reed Anderson, and Ethan Iverson. And they've been playing together to great... I just dropped some sweat there when I couldn't think of Reed's last name. Anyway, they're fabulous. They're hugely popular. They play to all different audiences, jazz and rock and alternative or whatever. I don't know the terms of music anymore. But they were invited to come up with a reading of The Rite of Spring in its centennial year, which I ignored. I didn't pay that much attention because I haven't really seen a dance choreographed to that music that I think is interesting at all, except the Disney.
So they were invited, Fantasia. Not by you.
Not by me. Yeah. I think by Duke University to participate in this program, exploring the history, blah, 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 the academic point of view on The Rite of Spring, which is, of course, is a very important early modernist piece of music that was very scary for people at the time and still is to some people, I guess. But the band decided to reapproach that piece for their own instruments and to really scour the rhythms clean and to do it as closely and as swingingly as we think that Stravinsky meant it. You know, nobody writes music to just be difficult and boring. And sometimes it turns out that way. So anyway, they re-explored this piece and went straight back to the score. I choreographed it from the two piano score, and that's how we use, you know, that's how we find out where we are. And so they were performing it separately to great success, and it's a wonderful, very interesting piece. For example, the prologue starts out recorded for the first few minutes. It's them playing, but it's a recorded, it's been distorted in certain ways to give it a sort of a, I don't know why, but it's a very interesting sort of scary, creepy lead-in. And then at a certain point, when the dance kicks in, when the rhythmic music kicks in, it becomes them playing live and us dancing live on the downbeat of the second section. So it's a thriller. It's very loud, and it's also rhythmically so precise and so exciting, something that a orchestra of 100 people can't really pull off. I mean, it's impossible to do it this right. And so I decided, ignoring the fact that everyone else has choreographed it, I decided to choreograph it myself to this. And the reason I did it is because of this particular version of the piece, which I think is spectacular.
Let's listen to the very beginning, and you'll get some of that, you know, scratchy recording sound at the outset.
Thank you.
So that's pretty much the moment where the dance begins in The Rite of Spring as reimagined or recreated, whichever word you, you want to use, by the piano trio, the Bad Plus.
Yeah.
A conventional piano trio only in the fact that they play those instruments.
Yeah, and because they're better than most, so that's what's nice about it, too.
And it's they're going to be playing the complete Rite of Spring of Stravinsky as danced by the Mark Morris Dance Group on Friday and Saturday night. It's a massive piece, and you said you've seen many dances of it that have always been unsatisfying, and I've seen a couple of videos of dances, and I'd have to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do differently?
Well, the first thing I did was ignore the libretto, which was, it's faux Russian historical anyway, that, it was put together with Diaghilev and Rurik, the original designer. So it's this sort of hoary story of, old Russia and a virgin sacrifice, et cetera. But I chose to ignore that. I mean, we call the movements that because that's how you can find it in the score, but that's not the story at all. I choreographed the piece with three male-female couples, a gang of five women, and a team of four men. So because the music is so, polyrhythmic and complicates dance, everyone, of course, dancers work from memory, so everyone has their own track through this piece to keep track of whatever impossible rhythms are happening. So, and I called it Spring, Spring, Spring after the fabulous song in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Now, what's the connection there?
There's no connection except Spring herself. So, no, that's all. Spring, renewal, fertility, hope.
And in spite of the snow on the ground as of last night, spring is actually coming very soon.
I've heard.
In about a week. So the piece is notoriously difficult for orchestras to play and for conductors to conduct because of the incredible rhythmic complexity of it. Is it therefore also difficult for dancers to dance?
It's difficult to dance, period. But my company, you'd be surprised, not just my company. Dancers are really, really good at learning and maintaining rhythms and rhythm relationships. And they have a very, very good sense of tempo. Most dancers, because very few of them are trained musically, kinetically. You can tell the speed you're used to, and you can feel and hear rhythms against each other. My company in particular is very, very good at that. But I would say dancers in general have a very good rhythm skill.
One would expect so.
One would hope so.
And it's the Mark Morris Dance Group Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. They're making their annual pilgrimage here. And Mark Morris, I've been pleased to have on the show. And thanks very much for coming in. And it should be a lot of fun on the
weekend. Thank you. We're bringing spring.
Bringing spring. Please, please, please. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We heard the beginning. This is the very end of this, The Rite of Spring. Again, it's The Bad Plus in The Sacrificial Dance.